All guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Each and every Tuesday, we're blessed to be joined by Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox. Charles, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys? Your last, free is the wrong word because you're already in preseason.
Yeah.
But it's for real next week, correct?
Yep. Can't wait. Yeah, the season begins on Tuesday. Doug and I open up the season with the Kings Wednesday in Phoenix. So, yeah, we are rolling right on. Boy, I got to tell you, your game in Minnesota on Sunday, you know, there are a lot of Kirk Cousins detractors, and I understand. But, boy, was he good against the Eagles.
Yeah, and, you know, look, he was good against the Giants, but, you know, I know it's your team and the whole deal. But let's face it, the whole league was like, okay, that's cool. You did it once. But this is for real now against a team that had 10 sacks the week before, even though it was against the Jets. And the Jets made that look a whole lot better this week with Sam Darnold. But bottom line is Kirk Cousins back-to-back weeks, he has to keep stacking those types of performances because let's be frank about it. That's what he got $84 million to do.
Charles, any quarterback controversy you think when Cam Newton gets ready to come back with Kyle Allen now 4-0 since Cam went down?
Yeah, there's always going to be controversy, Doug, because he's such an overarching figure. You know, and he is the figure there. Look, I don't know that people can truly understand how big a deal he is for that franchise unless you've been around it a little bit. And I've been around it as an analyst who comes in once, twice a year, you know, and covers the team and watches them practice and talks with him and what have you. And then I leave and go home, right? Mm-hmm. But just in that short amount of time, let me tell you what I've witnessed over the last couple of years, okay? The music that's played at practice, who do you think selects the music that's going to be played every day?
Yeah.
Cam Newton does.
Right, yeah.
I went there for a holiday season game, and there were Christmas tunes being played. Cam selected all of them. They had a thing last year. Now you get game notes for each game. Doesn't matter what the sport, right? Here are your game notes.
Yep. Yep.
They had all these game notes had these things like dripping. Right? It's like sauce drippings from the Carolina Panthers and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, dummy here, you can tell I'm getting old, right? I'm not as hip as I used to be. So I grabbed one of the media guys in Carolina. I was like, what is this? And he said, you know, sauce, a little sauce on everything, a little dripping. And I was like, oh, okay. I said, you guys are cool and hip. I was like, what motivated you to do that? And they're like, number one.
Okay.
So the reason I say this, Doug, is he is the figure on that franchise. When we talk about face of the franchise, he's face and body,
right?
Okay? So there will be something that's going to bubble up on this thing. If this kid keeps going on and, you know, he's 4-0 now. Now, look, they've got San Francisco coming up, I believe. If he manages to get and still be undefeated and beat San Francisco, there will still be controversy, but he'll almost stake his claim. And I need both of you to help me with this. We're all old enough to remember in the NFL when the starting quarterback got hurt. But when he came back, even if his backup was 8-0, who became the starter again?
Mm-hmm. Starting quarterback.
That quarterback.
Yep.
Right? You remember that, Grant?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely. All the time. Absolutely.
And for me, the line of demarcation when that truly changed was Bledsoe and Brady.
Yeah. Great point. Great point.
Yes. Bill Belichick made that decision because that changed everything. And then, of course, it got paid off with Brady winning the Super Bowl. And so now everybody went, okay, we don't have to do that anymore. Cam is such a big figure there that it's still going to be an issue. Personally, I would not be surprised at all if Carolina can work it out that they put Cam on IR if somehow this kid wins his next one or two games and just go to IR and defer having to deal with that.
Yep.
Because if he's healthy and standing around, oh man, that kid is one bad half away from being benched, let alone a loss away from being benched. But if he keeps winning, then everything shifts to what are they going to do with Cam? And I think if you're the Panthers, you better have a plan for this. And right now I would err on the side of Cam Newton getting healthy. And I would try my best to say, let's IR, and we'll figure it out in the offseason.
Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox. Charles, before You did the NFL on Fox. You worked with Gus Johnson. You did college football for a number of years. Yeah. So help me out. How many years now have you been on the NFL package?
Oh, the second go round since the 15 season.
Okay. So my question to you is this I hate to use the word worst, but is the NFL officiating as bad as you've seen in your tenure as an NFL commentator?
I'll put it to you this way, Grant. And Rick Gosselin, so you know Rick, the great writer out of Dallas.
Yes.
He supported it with numbers. Because you know you have feelings about things. Like, my God, it's a lot of flags. And what's going on? Isn't this more penalties than we're used to seeing? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, you're making those statements to yourself and to people you work with. Rick detailed it. And I don't have the exact numbers. But going back X number of years, we averaged less than 10 penalties per game, both teams combined.
Wow.
Okay. We are now, and as recently as 5 years ago, we were averaging like 11 penalties, 12 penalties per game combined, somewhere in that neighborhood. I think we're at 15 or 16 now. So to answer your question, Grant, because I'm a big advocate for these officials in a lot of ways, because I know what they deal with.
And I would echo that. I'm the same way as
right?
you are. Yep.
No, I know. I think we're all in the same camp.
Yep.
I think part of what's gone on is we've made it way more difficult for them to do their jobs because we keep asking for them to officiate more, right? But somehow throw the flag less. But every year we heap more stuff on them. Now you have to look out for this now. Now you have to have more of an emphasis there. Now I just don't think it's humanly possible to do as much as we're asking them to do. And so to me, it's no surprise that we have either more flags and or more blown calls. So, yeah, I know the players are saying this is the worst we've seen it officiated. I think that if we had an officiating seminar and said, okay, 10 years ago, here's where we were with the rule book and here's where our points of emphasis were. In these last 10 years, we have now asked them to officiate taking the head out of the play. Is it shoulder-to-shoulder contact or is it head-to-head contact? Remember, we never worried about that. We used to do segments on TV called You Got Jacked Up.
Yep.
And we didn't have – in fact, if you hit him with your head, you were doing a heck of a job.
Right. Yep.
Now you can't do that, and we have to differentiate that. We have to differentiate that in the offensive line. We have to differentiate that when a running back or a receiver catches the ball downfield and drops his shoulder to try and gain extra yards. Did he lead with his head? See where I'm going? That's just one example. Now take it and multiply it across the board. So, yes, if I sound like an apologist for the officials, I don't make any bones about it, and I don't shy away from it. But, yes, they're making bad calls. They are. And frankly, I'm surprised in some ways. I'm surprised there aren't more. I mean, look, let's just go last night real quick.
Yep.
Those calls against Trey Flowers about, you know, we had the long arm up and Bakhtiari, and they called him, you know. The first one to me was close because it was in that shoulder pad, neck area, the whole deal. The second one was not. But if you're an official back there at that speed and 200-300-pound mastodons are going at it like that, and you see that one guy's head rear back like it does, what's your instinct as an official?
Mm-hmm.
As a hand in the face.
Right.
It just is. I'm sorry. If everybody thinks I'm wrong, well, go out there and take a look and you tell me. And that's what they see. And then later on, you're like, oh, shoot. Missed it. Well, you're going to miss it. And unfortunately, every missed call last night, every big missed call, sure went against Detroit, didn't it?
Yeah,
sure it did.
I mean, every single one of them. And I need your guys' help on this because you're hoops guys. How many times have you had that come up over time calling games? And in big games, a certain brand, a certain team, a certain player,
yep,
the balance tilts towards that person, that team, that brand. Yes
all
or
the,
no?
All the time.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why I was trying to tell people today. I said, pick your sport, okay?
Yep.
When Greg Maddux was pitching in baseball.
No question.
Did he get he got anything he threw, they would say it was on the black?
Yep.
It could clearly be outside the black, but Greg Maddux was so skilled and so much in control that darn it, he got those pitches.
Same thing with the batters, like guys like the Don Mattinglys of the world and the Tony Gwynns.
Right.
If they didn't swing at a pitch, the umpire assumed that it was a ball, you know? Right.
It can't be a strike if you didn't take a cut at it.
Right.
So I know that's no comfort to Detroit, and I'm not asking it to be. But is it really a major surprise that last night that things kind of tilted towards Green Bay? Because subconsciously you say to yourself, Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay at home on Monday night, and it's the Lions.
Yep.
They should win that game. And it just happens, and it's unfortunate. But it's been proven out over time without it being empirical. We've all seen it. If the flag happens, it usually goes against that team. You get the idea. So so I'm not overly surprised. But I felt really bad for Detroit because I thought they carried most of that game last night. If a team deserved to win, I thought it was Detroit, even though they blew a few opportunities and didn't score a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
But they carried that game against Green Bay last night. So that's got to be tough for them to swallow.
Charles, they beat the Buccaneers. People are saying they beat the Bengals. They beat the Steelers. No Ben Roethlisberger. They smacked the Browns, and people are like, well, and now they go and they beat the Rams. This 49er defense looks to be as real as you can get. What say you about these 49ers?
I think they're as good as there is in the league right now because – they're actually getting it from both sides because the offense is playing well. We can talk all we want about brand names like I brought up. It's not all first-round draft picks that get it done. When you've got Matt Breida, undrafted free agent, Raheem Mostert, with the Wilson kid who came in when Tevin Coleman, their free agent acquisition, was hurt.
Right.
Now Coleman's back.
Right.
They run the heck out of it. Kyle Shanahan is an excellent play caller. There's no getting around it. You know, Kittle at tight end has made up for some deficiencies. I still don't think they're as good out wide as they could be, but they know how to mix and match very well. But that running game makes up for a lot of things as well. And Garoppolo gets better and better as he goes along. But the defense has shown that the investment in building that defense has paid off. Think of the investment in the D line. Like Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner, Nick Bosa. All first-round picks, right?
Right.
Solomon Thomas, first-round pick. They traded for D4, first-round pick, if I remember correctly, right?
Yep, mm-hmm. That's correct.
So you're talking about a full investment in that defensive front. Then you go to the linebackers. Fred Warner was a great acquisition in, what, second, third round?
Mm-hmm.
Quan Alexander,
who
fell in the draft only because of some off-field, and now they've got him as a free agent. He had first-round talent, but he fell for other reasons. And Richard Sherman's had a rebirth in playing. You know, I'm still not crazy about the Baker Mayfield thing.
No, I'm not either.
I felt like what he did with Mayfield and then was able to kind of brush it off.
It was terrible.
I thought it was petty and wrong because I think Richard is way better than that when he chooses to be. And I know if he hears me now, he'll have some comments for me, and that's fine. But I just thought that was just, okay, come on, man. Just say you missed and just call it a day, right?
Yep. I totally agree with you. Bad look, boy. Very bad.
If you're talking about on the field, though, have you watched him play this year?
Yeah, he looks great.
He looks
awesome.
That's
Richard Sherman. That's the Richard Sherman we saw in Seattle. He is back. The Achilles is healed. He's the deal. And, boy, those pups in the secondary are following pops to the promised land. That is a good football team. And Robert Saleh, their D coordinator.
Oh, boy.
You guys remember I was all in on him
when
I first met him.
Yes, you were.
If you want to talk about head coaching candidates, if his name's not thrown in there, someone's doing it wrong. He is a guy that is doing a great job, and those guys rally for him.
Hey, I'll pick him up at the airport if he wants to come to New York. Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox. Charles, you've got the Rams and the Falcons. The Rams have now lost three in a row, and I guess the best recipe for getting back on track is to play the Falcons. Good Lord, what on earth has happened to that franchise?
None of us can figure it out. I talked to people in Atlanta today, guys, and everybody collectively has that emoji where you're shrugging and your hands are up to, you know, it's up to the sky. Like, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, it's not a lack of talent. It's not a bad roster. This is a roster we expected to contend for the division title with New Orleans. We expected them to get back on track. Dan Quinn, as the head coach, took over the defense. Okay? And that's his specialty. Pass rush is his specialty. They can't get to the quarterback. How about this stat for last week? Kyler Murray, he's elusive. We get all that. Do you know that they had no hits on him last week, let alone sacks?
Unbelievable.
Man.
And I know Dan said, he throws the ball in two seconds. Okay, not every one of them. Not 37 times he did. They never got to him. Not one time. Zero.
Wow.
At one point, I think the Cardinals scored in five straight possessions, and then Atlanta held them for three straight possessions and got back in the game on offense. The offense is still perking. They could run it better, believe me. They're not doing that very well. But Matt's still throwing it, few too many picks. But all in all, they still put up points to generate that. But the defense is getting torched, absolutely torched. And I don't understand it because it's not the most overly complex defense. So I don't know what the communication breakdowns are. I don't know why the ball's going over the heads of guys. I just don't understand the number of big plays given up because that defense is designed not to give up big plays. Yet it's happening week in and week out. But here's the thing about the Rams. They just lost Joseph Noteboom at guard.
Uh-oh.
Okay, they got to figure that out. Aqib Talib's on the IR with ribs. They just traded Marcus Peters to
Baltimore. Were you surprised by that?
I was just because, you know, what investment they had made in Peters. But trading him, he hasn't played really as well as they had hoped. I feel like there's another move coming. I feel like the trade has opened the door for another move because you don't ordinarily trade Marcus Peters when Aqib Talib's on the IR.
Right.
So if you're trading him now for a linebacker, I'm wondering, and it's Kenny Young coming from Baltimore, I'm wondering if there's a big move coming. And, I don't want to get into the super speculation, but I'd be remiss if I didn't. The Rams have always been bold in their moves under Les Snead. There's a certain corner who doesn't want to play in Jacksonville.
Oh, boy.
That's the first thing I thought was, that be?
Yeah.
Because the Rams have been very bold like that, and that does not bother them, and they don't shy away from it. So maybe, perhaps, all I know is, if it's happening, Les Snead, can you do it so that he plays on Sunday in my game, please?
Man, as you're talking about defense, could it be that, you know, there's been so much emphasis on the offensive side of the football. Could it be that defense is that new thing, the two Smiths in Green Bay? Has changed the culture of that? We saw what Chicago did last year. You're watching what you in with the 49ers. Just talk to me about, could that be the shift that we see? If you got a good defensive unit, you can win football games?
Yeah, you can, and things work in cycles, don't they, Doug?
Yeah, they do.
Right? Pick your sport again, and let's stay with basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times in your career did you see the shift within the league about different emphasis on different things?
Yes.
Right? We went from the power post-up game, mm-hmm. and you had to have Hakeem, right? You had to have Ralph.
Patrick Ewing, that's right.
You had to have Patrick Ewing. You had to have, Shaq.
Yep.
And then we got away from that, right? Guys, we better develop a mid-range game. Now we're hitting the threes.
Yep.
And everything spread like the European game. We went from the isolation, packages.
Ball movement.
And all that. Ball movement came back into play. So everything moves, right? Everything changes. Who are the two undefeated teams in the NFL?
Yeah.
New
Patriots
England and San Francisco.
And both of them fantastic defenses.
In the NFL?
Yeah.
Those two. So it's an interesting deal. Now, the one thing I will say is, as much as we love offense, defense does remain that constant when you have it. And when I was doing college football and I was doing a BCS championship game, it was Florida-Oklahoma. And Oklahoma was number one in the country in offense, averaging 50-plus points per game with Sam Bradford and that crew. You remember that team?
Mm-hmm.
Florida came into the game with Tebow and crew. But they were the number three defense in the country. Oklahoma's defense was 74th.
Oops.
I went and looked up my stats.
Okay.
And when you had those kind of matchups, if you had a top 10 defense versus a top 10 offense, I think top 10 defense won like 9 out of 10 or 8 out of 10. And in our game, I think two or three times in the first half alone, Florida got inside the 10 and came away with 0 points and lost the game, I think, 21-17. So the defense does more than have its place. And sometimes you have the shutdown defenses, and sometimes you have the opportunistic defenses that just steal a possession or two. And with a good offense, that's how they win.
Yeah.
But these two right now are shutdown defenses because what they did to the Rams last week was unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean, the Rams ran it for, what, less than 60 yards and threw it for less than 80 yards. The Rams.
Goodness.
Against San Francisco.
Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox. Philadelphia, Dallas, you just saw the Eagles. They got beat soundly. I'm just wondering what would be the Monday storyline if Dallas loses their fourth in a row. Jerry Jones, for the first time, was really didn't give Jason Garrett what I would call a vote of confidence after that Jets game. I mean, tough to say what would happen with the coach, but Jason Garrett, boy, oh boy, if he loses on Sunday night, I wonder if he's coaching this team.
Yeah, based on how Jerry has done it for all these years, I would be surprised if he made the move here, because even if they lose Sunday, they're one game out of first in their division. You know, so that part, not as much patience. I totally agree with you. I felt like he walked it back a little bit today. Did you notice that one?
I missed that today. Did he walk it back?
Yeah. Well, he walked back to this extent. He said something along the lines of, if Jason Garrett weren't coaching the Cowboys, he would be in high demand around.
Oh my gosh! Good Lord!
So, come on!
So to me, that was his way of trying to quote unquote walk it back, trying to let Jason know that he's still in his corner. But the bigger picture is, remember, he didn't give him a contract extension this year. Jason's coached on the last year of his contract.
Right.
So to me, that tells me more than anything anyone's going to say. And this is a team, as you guys noted, started out 3-0. As it turned out, three bad teams. See, I thought Washington would be better. Okay, I really did, especially on defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I thought that was actually a good win early. As it turns out, so that doesn't help them. Miami, of course, doesn't help them. They've got to find a way to beat someone good. Here's a chance. And Philadelphia is in a similar spot. And you notice how Doug Peterson tried to take all the attention off of his team this week and put it all on himself with the Joe Namath guarantee. I think Doug is just trying to let his team breathe a little bit and let everybody come to him. So this would be an interesting game, to put it mildly.
Charles, you're the best, man. Have a good game I can't even imagine. You know, we talk about coaches in jeopardy. I wonder what's going to happen in Atlanta if they don't play well against the Rams. But that's life.
I think I can help you with that real quick, guys. Here's the deal.
Yep.
Arthur Blank has been extremely patient as well. He's been a lot like Jerry Jones with coaches. He has allowed them to coach through. Very quickly, here's the deal.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
The Rams come to town this weekend. Seattle comes to town next weekend.
Right.
And then they have an open week.
Okay.
If somehow they lose these two and really kind of stumble around doing it, the open week probably gives him the opening to do it if he wants to. But when he had Mike Smith, and everyone knew Mike Smith was walking the plank, he let him go almost until the end of the year. So it's just a matter of who these owners are and how they treat people. And Mr. Blank has been extremely patient. I don't know that he does it then, but that would be the time that I would really eyeball it. I wouldn't eyeball it prior to then, because I don't think his team has quit on him, but they certainly aren't playing well, to put it mildly. Yeah.
Well, a nice quick trip for you. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks a lot, guys. Always great chatting with you. You take care of yourself.
You thanks, too. Charles.
That's Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox. Always great information from Charles.
Man, could you imagine mid-season firings? Grant, those are tough. Which way do you go? Do you go offensive coordinator? Do you go defensive coordinator? In Atlanta, that was a team, Grant, that I thought that after going to the Super Bowl, losing, trying to recover, not making the playoffs, you would think that, this might be the time where they surge again, but not able to do it.
Wow, brutal. All right, if you want to call the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll preview a couple of the top teams in the East, one being Milwaukee, and then the defending champion, Toronto Raptors. We'll spend just a couple of minutes on them. I don't think anyone's expecting them to repeat without Kawhi Leonard, but we'll check in with that. Your phone calls, as I said, Mike Pereira, the rules analyst at Fox Sports. He'll be joining us at 6 o'clock. So we got a lot going on. If you want to comment on what you saw, if you were streaming the game last night, or if you want to talk about the Kings, Doug and I obviously were there, and we can update you on anything you need to know. We'll be right back on Sports 1140. Moving along, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, we take your phone calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Really looking forward to hearing what Mike Pereira from the NFL on Fox has to say at 6 o'clock. I think this is the worst the officiating's maybe ever been. That's my take on it.
I think that you're right. I think that there's the instant replay has hurt in a lot of ways as we define what a catch is. Now hits the first, what was that, first hit of the second half that knocked the receiver out? Was it helmet to helmet? Those type of things, targeting. There's so many different calls that when they go to the instant replay, it looks like it's going to be one way, but that's frame by frame stuff.
And they missed a critical pass interference call that. I'm shocked that the Lions did not challenge it. It was a clear no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Pass interference on the Packers in the fourth quarter. And then there was a third down play. I don't know what the Lions were thinking. And then they punted. They missed that. That was an egregious error right there. Just very poorly officiated game. And here's the other issue. All right. When you have your announcer in the booth who is a partner of the NFL, Booger McFarland, and good for him. He killed the officials last night, and he was in the right to doing it.
Yeah,
good for him.
See, now, Grant, you and I have done it in a different way because we know the referees. They're, I mean, we got some of the best in the world in the NBA. And we'll see a play, and you or I might say, oh, that looks one way. We'll go back and look at it, and we'll come on. Not necessarily say, hey, you missed a call. You missed a call. It's part of it. Oh. But a lot of times we see that the ref actually – got it right.
All guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Gleyber Torres with a solo shot, but the Yankees still trail by 3. It is 4-1, one out in the bottom of the 8th. The Nats, one win away from a World Series, so they're excited in the nation's capital. They're not excited about the Redskins, but boy, are they excited about the Nationals. All right, Thomas, you're next. Hi, Thomas.
How's it going, guys? Huge fan, and I just wanted to get your opinion on something quick. You know, it's about the MVP race, and this field is always so heavily fitted with quarterbacks, and I know some people are talking a little bit about McCaffrey, and I just don't think he's getting the credit he deserves. His one bad game came off of the back of kind of some criticism from, you know, Cam Newton in his camp. I know Cam Newton can't take criticism. He's got a bit of an ego. And so when someone comes out and says, you know, what's wrong with Cam? He's got to go out and prove himself. And then, you know, you fast forward back to week 2. He just had a horrible week. Missed dumb passes to McCaffrey. He didn't get his touches. And then now Carolina's just firing on all cylinders. You know, they have a game manager in the backfield. And I think it's just they're better off without him. I just want to get your guys' opinion
on
that.
I don't think there's any question that they're better without him. They're much better without Cam Newton than with Cam Newton this year.
Injured Cam Newton.
Yeah, injured. But right. So, yes. But, again, I look at the Carolina Panthers. They're 4-2. I don't know how you would go into that locker room and tell your players that Kyle Allen's not starting anymore and Cam Newton is. I don't. That's shocking to me. I don't see how you could do that.
Yeah, and to the caller's point, I would agree with you on Christian McCaffrey. I mean, you got a guy in Kyle Allen who is playing good football, but he's managing the game. Christian McCaffrey, he has stepped up in a huge way. And that goes with my guy, Russell Wilson, in Seattle, who I think is MVP candidate as well. But McCaffrey is definitely right there.
You know, and again, we do this because it generates – you know, conversation on the radio. Mm-hmm. It's kind of ridiculous to even talk about an MVP when we're not even to Halloween yet.
You know,
you know, the Niners have only played 5 games. Some other teams have only played 5 games. Other teams have played 6. I mean, it's kind of silly right now to even talk about an MVP. But Christian McCaffrey's having as good a year as anyone in the league. I mean, that's not debatable.
You know, it's weird because many times, and we see the public relations of certain teams, if you don't kind of campaign for your guy more times than not, or girl, that they're not going to necessarily win the award. You gotta start pushing it. When they're playing well, you gotta give them their props. Christian McCaffrey is just, he's playing some hellacious football. I think coming out of Stanford, people were wondering, is he going to be able to run between tackles and different things? He's showing the ability to do everything on the football field.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Grant Napier and Doug Christie were with you up until 7 o'clock tomorrow. We'll be out at Golden One Center.
Napes, you and I were just talking, and your mindset. So right now, you're game 3. Series tied up at one. Looks like if it goes the distance, Houston's going to win this. They'll be up 2-1. Tomorrow is looking like there's going to be rain. If if it's rained out, how does that play in? Who does it favor, in your opinion, more?
I think it would favor the Yankees because Houston would have all the momentum right now, and it gives them a day to regroup.
Good point.
I think it also would put Tanaka on the mound.
Okay.
In a must-win game for the Yankees.
Fully rest?
Yes. And then you would have a game five with the series tied at 2-2, assuming that Tanaka wins, and another must-win for the Yankees. Again, I think you have to say this. The chances of New York, okay, going to Houston, down 3-2, and beating both Verlander and Cole is remote. It's not going to happen. The Yankees must win Wednesday or Thursday, depending on when the game would be.
Right.
They have to win games four, and they have to win games five. Yeah. They have to.
Yeah, and then you're just going to have to. And today we were just talking about Cole. Cole pitched 7 innings. He gets 7 strikeouts. I mean, the Yankees actually got to him. They had the bases full. They couldn't get past.
He was sloppy today. He walked 5 guys.
Right, and he's almost been averaging 14 strikeouts per outing this year. He's been solid, and if you were going to get to him, you had an opportunity to get to him.
If I told you that Gerrit Cole would pitch 7 innings and allow 4 hits and walk 5,
you would think.
And I would say, well, the Yankees have a minimum of 2 or 3 runs.
Runs, right. And they left, I don't know how many men.
They left five in the first 2 innings.
Yeah. Wow. When you get a guy like that on the hook, you got to take full advantage
of it. Absolutely. They didn't do it. Yeah. All right. 339-1140 is the local number, 800-920-1140. And again, I'm not surprised at all about how this is looking, because I figured that the Astros would win game three with Gerrit Cole, and I still think the Yankees will win game four and game five. I believe that they will. I believe their bats will get the job done. I'm not so sure that they'll win game six or game seven, but I think they'll win the next 2 games.
And that's why that game two, letting that slip away, was probably, you know, the Yankees are going to go back and look at that and just go, man, how do we? And there were some decisions that were made that you and I talked about that you would have liked to see them maybe go in a different direction, as opposed to taking guys out on pitch counts and different things. First pitch thrown after that's jacked out of the yard. It's boy, oh boy. But that's what being a manager is about in the big leagues.
All right, again, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. By the way, in this baseball game, the crew chief, Jeff Nelson, who was behind the plate, took 2 foul balls off his mask, and after the second one had to leave the game. So it's just those guys take a beating back there, and he had to leave the game. And he's one of the very, very best. He was behind the plate a few years ago in Game 7 of the World Series. And if you're behind the plate for a Game 7 of the World Series, you're one of the best that they have. He's one of the best umpires in baseball, Jeff Nelson.
You know, and for people like, he got hit in the mask. Listen, if someone was, say, 6 feet in front of you, and they had a ball gun and was able to shoot it at you at 100 miles an hour, and you would just let it hit you in the face.
Oh, boy.
And pair with that, Grant, you're probably not totally braced to get hit in the face because you're watching something different. You're probably braced, but not, man, that's tough.
All right, let's get to Lewis. Hello, Lewis.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Doug, I'm a fellow Tuck Willian.
There you go.
Seahawks fan.
Got a boy. Mariners fan as well?
You're
killing me right now.
I've been hanging on with my fingernails for years and years and years.
So all right.
I'll be with them next year. Hey, I had 2 questions. Actually, 1.1 question. First point is, I'm very, very glad that finally Russell Wilson has getting some national recognition. I know he's been kind of talked about as being an upper tier quarterback, but he's been playing MVP type of ball for years in Seattle, and I'm glad he's getting what he deserves now.
No doubt.
Second point is, how are the Seahawks going to deal with losing Disley at the tight end? I know they brought back Luke Wilson, who's familiar with the system.
Yeah.
It seems like Wilson and Disley really had something going.
It's a big loss.
I wanted to know if they're going to be able to make that up.
I don't think so. That's a big loss. I think you bring up a very good point. It's a big loss for the Seahawks team. Again, 5-1. But, you know, losing, anytime you're dealing with your Achilles, it's
And bringing back Luke Wilson, as you mentioned, big because he knows the system, not somebody mm-hmm. that you're going to go and get and you have to bring him up to speed. There's probably right. obviously synergy between him and Russell Wilson, but those are things that, man, it's, to make up for it, luckily you got a guy that is an MVP candidate and he can make up for some of
That's
it,
right.
but you're just hoping that Luke Wilson plays well. And man, you just got to tape and paste.
So awful. I mean, when you hear a guy rupturing your Achilles,
no
because,
doubt.
You know, again, it's a full year deal.
Yeah.
Can I ask one more quick question? When they lose a tight end like that, can they make it up with asking the wideouts to kind
no.
of pick it up?
No.
No, it's just no. a totally different
thing. On top of the fact that you can use the tight end for blocking and different things
exactly.
like
the,
that.
The physical nature, wide yeah. receivers are not big enough to play tight end
right,
in the NFL.
Right.
They would get killed if you put them in there.
Hey, Doug, let me ask you a quick question. How do you think the Seahawks are going to do that first game down in San Francisco?
You know, that's going to be a tough one, man. I'm going to be honest with you because the one thing that the Seahawks can do well is you got a quarterback that's mobile. But let me tell
guys,
you.
Guys, that's November 11th. We know that, right?
Right.
Okay, so what happens if Russell Wilson gets hurt this week? What happens
oh,
if
yeah, no,
I mean, you know, you can't
yeah.
–
he just
what?
he doesn't want me to entertain
no,
your question.
You know what?
That's
because
what
you
Nate
know what? You can't look at a game 4 weeks from now and try to project what's going to happen because – of the injury factor
hey,
in the
when
NFL.
I go into the grocery store, there's some 49er fans, and they get on me as soon as I walk in. We'll see you soon. We'll see you November 4th. Grant, what am I supposed to do?
I'm just curious how you guys see the two of them matching up at this point. That's really it.
Well, the 49ers right now, their defensive front
mm-hmm.
and the way that they're able to dictate the game
with four
yeah. as, and not having the blitz changes everything defensively. But again, it's, you know, the Seahawks have games against Baltimore, Atlanta, and the Buccaneers before they play San Francisco. Stop talking about how teams are going to match up 4 weeks from now. You just talked about losing your tight end. Well, that changes how the Seahawks are going to run their offense.
You're correct.
All right. Hey, Doug, could you slap Grant around?
Don't you worry about
me,
it.
He can't slap me, right, because he knows that I'm right.
I know you. Anyway, thanks a lot.
Thank you, man.
No, it's not like, you know, you have to be careful in sports, especially in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, injuries change everything in this league.
You know, one thing that is, I think, going to play also into the 49ers' favor is they have Richard Sherman, and you got Russell Wilson on tape, but there's a guy who has intimate knowledge of him. I think those type of things help a little
Assuming
bit.
He's on the field when they play in 4 weeks. He may be hurt between now and then.
You think they'll play the freaking game in 4 weeks? Is everyone going to be hurt?
Well, you know what? What happens if Richard Sherman's not on the field that game? Then what kind of impacts are you going to have
gonna
in the game?
We're going to exploit that side of the field.
What? That's exactly right.
Okay. Rich, don't get hurt. I'm a fan. Thanks.
I don't root for guys to get hurt either.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You're talking about a lot of injuries, Napes. That's all I'm saying.
All right. I want to tell you about the Home Theater Company, audio, video, and home theater. They are the best. I know that because I've used them since the mid-90s. They've seen it all. They've done it all. They have over 70 years combined experience. Hey, are you thinking of a new entertainment system for the holidays? Maybe you're moving. Whatever the case may be, call the Home Theater Company at 916-457-5504 or better yet, go online, hometheatercompany.com. The Home Theater Company, for all of your audio, video, and home theater needs. Again, folks, I have no issues coming on the air every day and telling you they are the best. The Home Theater Company, hometheatercompany.com. Well, we were just talking about the NFC West. How about this for you? Adam Schefter of ESPN reporting that Jalen Ramsey is going from Jacksonville to the LA Rams for two first-round picks, one in 2020, the other in 2021, and a fourth-round pick in 2021. How about that? Jalen Ramsey going coast-to-coast from Jacksonville to the Rams.
Charles and he won't Davis.
Have – I mean, that's big time.
Yeah, Charles Davis just asked. He said, please do it before the game. And he kind of broke it on here. He said this could be something for a bigger move, and that bigger move is made. You now have Jalen Ramsey locking down one side of the field for Los Angeles Rams.
All right, 3-3-9. 1140, that's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. So the NFC West just got a little bit tougher. I would not rule out the Rams just yet. I know that the Niners are undefeated. I know the Seahawks have one loss. I wouldn't count out the Rams just yet. I really wouldn't. Now, are they going to win the division? Maybe not. They're three games back of San Francisco, but they're just trying to make the playoffs right now.
Yeah, and you just brought this up. talking about injuries and different things. I understand you got the 49ers playing fantastic. What's going to happen? Do they stay healthy? I mean, maybe they're the team that stays healthy because you have teams that do that. Maybe something happens with my Seahawks.
But they're not healthy. Think about this. Both tackles, fullback.
That is, and they're still winning football games.
But their defense is healthy with the exception of Witherspoon, but their front four is so good.
Yeah.
Their DBs don't have to be on an island.
Right. You don't have – I mean, you can, you know – bracket a guy in because you're only rushing with four. So I would agree with you, Grant. The Rams have not been the Rams. If Todd Gurley isn't going to play at the Todd Gurley level that he was a year ago, they're probably not going to be able to deal in NFC West. But that's a big time move, I would say. Did they give up too much? I guess two firsts and a fourth? Is that too much for Jalen Ramsey, Napes?
Well, if the Rams make the playoffs, no. Okay, if they don't make the playoffs, then probably yes. But Jalen Ramsey is regarded as the best cornerback in football and the best cover guy in football.
Right, and whenever usually you say that, that means that one side of the field you're locking down pretty much, and he can stand on his own, which now allows you to, move some guys and deploy him in other areas. So we'll have to see how they use Jalen Ramsey and what he does for a defense that hasn't been playing up to the level I'm sure that Sean McVay would like.
Again, I look at the Rams about getting back into this. All right, so they're 3-3, and here's their schedule. All right, they play at Atlanta. I'm going to say they win that game to go to 4-3.
Okay.
Then they are at home against the Bengals, and I say they win that game to go to 5-3. Then they're at Pittsburgh, and I'm going to say they win that game to go to 6-3. Then they have the Bears at home, the Ravens at home. But again, they can get back into this thing if they can win these next three games.
Well, I think you got to pair that with looking at what my Seahawks got and who they are going to be playing. They have the Ravens this coming week, then the Falcons, Buccaneers, 49ers. So out of that, if you are, say, 2-2, that puts them at what does that put them at? Napes, that would put them at –
well, they better go better than 2-2.
No, I'm just saying that would put them at 7-3, so which is not terrible. I would agree with you. You're hoping to be 3-1, or you'd love to sweep it all. So the Rams have put themselves in a tough pickle. That's
– I mean, the Seahawks should win – three of those games in a row. They should beat the Ravens. It's going to be a tough game, but they should win that game. At the Falcons, they're going to win. Against the Buccaneers, Jameis Winston will throw 8 picks if he's still the starter. They'll win that game. Then they go to San Francisco.
So when you look at this, Napes, the wild card probably isn't going to come out of the East. I would say who wins that probably comes out of the East. Out of the North, you got the Packers and the Vikings. I don't know if you still leave the Chicago Bears in there or not at 3-2, but they're right there with the Rams. And then the Panthers, who have surprised a lot of people in the South because you maybe only thought that the Saints were coming out of the South. So I'm saying that to say, who are the Rams competing with for that wild card spot? And the NFC West is probably going to have one, maybe two.
I think they're competing with the NFC North. I think you're going to have one. And again, I'm doing this, which can be dangerous because Carolina's 4-2. But I personally think you're going to have one from the West and one from the NFC North. That's the way I'm projecting this to go with the wild card. I'm not ruling out Carolina, but I could. I looked at their schedule. I'm not a believer in them yet.
Yeah.
I think the loser of the NFC West will be one wild card. And again, it's a little dangerous to project this in the middle of October. And I think the loser of the NFC North will be the other one.
Okay. I mean,
NFC East, no.
Right.
And NFC South, I don't believe Carolina's for real. I think they're better without Cam Newton, but I don't think they're playoff better.
Hey, Napes, oddly enough, your Giants are only one game out in the loss column. I'm just saying.
Have you seen their defense play?
Cut it out, man.
Have you seen their defense?
Yeah, I did see their defense. I'm just saying, the numbers don't lie.
All right,
let's go analytics here.
All right, here, I'll go analytics with you. Ready?
All right.
Win this Sunday against the Cardinals.
So count
these wins for me.
Okay.
At the Lions, loss.
Okay.
Cowboys at home, loss. At the Jets, toss-up, I'll give it a win. At the Bears, loss. Home Packers, loss. At Philadelphia, loss. Home Dolphins, win. At Washington, win.
Then you got the Eagles.
Is that playoff?
That's 5 losses. Okay, I got you.
All right, thank you.
I mean, Saquon Barkley's coming back.
Good. Can he play defense?
He probably could, actually.
If he can't play defense, then don't talk to me. He looks like he could
be a linebacker, Napes.
The Astros beat the Yankees, and they now lead the series 2-1. game four tomorrow, pending the weather. Let's get to Ray. Hello, Ray. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, what's up?
Hey, so one of the things I wanted to talk about was with the move that the Rams just made. I'm a huge 49ers fan, and after seeing this game, when I see that reaction, it just seems very desperate. And what I mean by that is in that game, it didn't appear that the defense was really the problem at all, because they actually did. I mean, it was 7-7 in the first half.
I agree.
And so after the half, you had the adjustments made. And so when the adjustments were made, remember that first drive, I think Jared Goff threw it back and there was a fumble. And so they set us up in scoring position. So that game, I think, was no matter what, how I look at it, it was a tough, tough game. And, yeah, the defense for my team did really good. But at the end of the day, sometimes people, if you don't really follow the team, sometimes a lot of these fans, they come out here and they say, oh, this, you know, the Rams are terrible, this and that. And I don't think they're terrible. I think they are a really good team. But when I see this move, I just don't think that it's going to help them with what their actual problem is. Right now, their biggest problem is they cannot run the ball the same, even with Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley's not the same, obviously. If he's not carrying the ball 25 times, then that makes Todd Gurley no longer the best player on the field, which is what he used to be. And so when you lose that, of course Jared Goff's going to struggle now because they relied on Gurley so much. Gurley was the engine last year. And we already seen when Gurley is not in the game and Gurley's not Gurley anymore, I mean, look at the struggles that Jared Goff had. I think he had like 13 touchdowns, but 14 interceptions since that injury. Mm-hmm. And so that was when you see that. I see them there. It seems like right now they're desperate, really, really desperate. And for me as a 49er fan, it's good because what I think this team doesn't get credit for is that Kyle Shanahan has built a system. He and John Lynch have built a system. And the greatest thing I love about a system, tell me who the best player on the 49ers is right now.
That's good.
Exactly.
It's a team.
They got a system in place right now. And so when you have a system in place, you can withstand injuries, i.e. the New England Patriots. They can withstand injuries.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I would hate to do that. We're up against a break. We'll be right back.